Chapter 61, we'll read the chapter, I think it's only 11 verses. Isaiah 61. And here we go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. You know, I have that chapter set to music for a choir and organ, and I've never heard it performed. Isn't that a shame? That's terrible. But it's the King James Version, word for word. And someday I'd like to hear that, but it'll probably be in glory, so I'm not holding my breath. Well, that's been written for years. All right, at 62 I did. I heard that performed in a Methodist church, but I never heard 61 performed. All right, now, what we've been talking about is the seed of Abraham. Now, we see that two different things are going on today. One is that people are being saved. And, of course, that's all that I guess most of the church understands. The whole purpose of the thing is to get saved and go to heaven. Once you get saved, get other people saved. But then as we study the Bible, we feel another whole program's going on. What is that? Oh. Huh? Right, and but in the context of what we've been speaking the last two or three times, what is the other plan that's going on? Becky? I'll pick on you, huh? Oh, all right. Thought I'd embarrass her because she's come on Tuesday night by herself. All right. Don't any of you know what I'm driving at? Two things are going on. I told you in my opening remarks what? That's right. You're right, of course. But it has to be in the teacher's terms or it isn't right. All right. So we got two things going. And this chapter puts it together. This chapter puts it together. It shows you the nations, and it shows you the seed of Abraham, and it shows you what's going on today. And this chapter tells you why we can't just say, well, I'm saved, and that's it. God has a big plan, and it just begins in this life, but it extends throughout the ages to come. It's an eternal plan. And now I've identified 15. Paul added one. Paul Dillinger added one. So I got 15 roles and tasks that belong to the seed of Abraham that we'll be doing from now on throughout eternity. So you're not going to get to sleep all the time. Now you will have rest and joy and peace, and maybe you'll get a breather after you die physically, but once the Lord returns, man, you are in business. So this is what we're being prepared for. Now this chapter ties it together, so it isn't just some wild academic thing. This is what Jesus read when he began his ministry. This is the ministry of Christ. Now, this is why you have the baptism. This is why you have the baptism. God didn't give you the baptism of the Spirit so you'd have another language. God gave you the baptism of the Spirit because of this chapter, because of your role and tasks. Those two things, a role that you are and a task that you perform beginning now and for eternity. God has called you to be something and to do something. And you have to give your whole body, soul, mind, spirit to it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath... I've got a task to do. Right away, when the Spirit is on you, it's because God has something for you to do. When God gives you His Holy Spirit, it's because you've got something to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not to feel good. That's good that we do. Or so I'll be one of them. But it is upon us because we have a task to perform and roles to become, to fulfill, things to become. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good news to people who are teachable. Meek means teachable. Good news to people who are teachable. Now, it often comes across as bad news to us in America because our education and our money has made us proud, and we're not meek. Boy, we Americans, you can see going to India, you can see what meekness is. I saw something on the airplane that really pointed this up. You know, when you stop someplace, the cleaning crews come through. If you're on a long flight, you stop, and after you've gone for maybe 10 hours or something, they stop and you can get off or you can remain on board depending on how long they're there. But a cleaning crew will come through. They vacuum. They put the pillows back where they're supposed to be and pick up stuff and everything so that you start off on the next leg. The ship is clean. How many have seen that? Well, you know, when Americans come through, they clean it up. They do a good job. But do you know how they do in Hong Kong and when you get into Asia? The ladies come in and they go through there on their hands and knees. And they crawl under the seats. They don't have machinery that sticks way under that. They get under, they go through it. No, American wouldn't do that. We're not that humble. If somebody asked you to clean the church, I wouldn't expect to come here. Hank wouldn't come here and find you on your hands and knees on the floor. See, going under the pews. You'd be looking for a machine to do it. But those people, they live in India, you notice this, they are so poor, most of them, that they are very humble and very earthly. You know, they're not maintaining image like we are. Well, there's nothing that can happen or that they can do that is too menial. I mean, if it's better to do it on your hands and knees, you do it on your hands and knees. There's no image that you're holding up, well, I'm too good to do this. There's just a humility and a quality, and that's very apparent. And so the gospel will come to people like that as good news. I remember one night I was praying for the sick, and I prayed till that was after midnight. Started about 10 o'clock, and went after midnight, and the people were still lined up. There was about 30 people that just were on the stone floor of the church, were laying there, were already asleep. They were just going to sleep there all night and wait till the next day and go home. I mean, that's it. The way they live is just a meek, menial, humble kind of existence. Quite different from ours. And so the gospel to such people comes as good news. But when it comes to us, we want to know, how will it improve me? Will I get self-fulfillment from it? Will I be happy? How will it do with my marriage and my job and the whole thing? And then, oh, I got to, you know, start sacrificing? So it becomes bad news right away. But to the meek, it's good news. Good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, this is addressed to Israel. This is what the Spirit does for Israel. We haven't come to the nations yet. This is for God's people. This is for God's people. Some of God's people are brokenhearted. Did you know that? There are Christian people that are brokenhearted. Their homes break up. They have sickness. They find out that their children are on dope. Or that this has happened to their daughter, or that has happened to someone. There are many, many homes, and Jesus has come to the children, to Zion. The anointing has come to build up the seed of Abraham. This is addressed to the seed of Abraham. To proclaim liberty to the captives, to those who are captive in Zion. In the church, many of God's people today are bound. They have problems. They have terrible bondages. We come and preach about the overcoming life. There's many people, there's some even in this church, that are hanging on for dear life. And they need the ministry. Now, where does this ministry come from? How are God's people going to be helped to have the prison, the yoke, of sin, of self-rule, of problems with their families? How are God's people going to be released till they can be total overcomers? Where is the source of deliverance? Where is the source of deliverance? Most of you probably are doing pretty good, but the day may come when you may find yourself at your wit's end. I mean God's people now. We're not talking about the nation. We're talking about God's people. Neil, you know where it comes from? Exactly. So hold that place and turn to Ephesians 4 and you'll see it. And this is what God has called us to do. He has called many of us, not all of us, but He has called many of us to build up the church. And look at Ephesians 4 verses 15 and 16. As you see, it does no good to keep going out and getting people saved if they continue in bondage, if they continue in sin, if they continue in self-will. And I dare say most of the church is in bondage today. Praise the Lord. How many people do you know are free in the Spirit that have got the victory? You speak to them and say, how's it going? Praise the Lord. I've got my problems, but God has given me the victory today. Do you have the victory today? Or are you wobbling on something? Huh? You're wobbling on it. We have battles every day, don't we? And many of God's people are down. I think by and large this is an overcoming church, but many of God's people don't even know there is such a thing. But look at Ephesians 4 verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. May grow up, say. May grow up. God wants us to grow up. Most of the New Testament, virtually all of it. In fact, let me get real broad-minded here. I think almost every word in every epistle is written to the seed. It's not written to the world. It's not written to the unsaved. This whole passage, this whole book of Ephesians is written to the seed. It's written to the saints that they might be delivered and might be what God wants them to be. Just think of that. The New Testament is not written to the sinner. It's written to the saint, and we saints, that we might grow up. And people say, well, the most important thing to do is get them saved. Well, it is important to get people saved. But God wants His people to become trees of righteousness, strong, delivered, getting the victory. If you've got something tonight and you don't have the victory, God wants the victory tonight. Let's see where it's coming from. From whom the whole body, that's the body of Messiah, of the seed of Abraham, Zion, the people of the Lord. Now, it's not the world, it's just the body of Christ, fitly joined together. Well, it's anything but that today, isn't it? People don't even know where they belong in the local church, let alone globally. See? The church needs a ministry to the church. Because God's people are scattered all over the boneyard. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I look at something, one of those songs we were singing. And I remember that first one. And it reminded me of a mission. That's what they sing in the mission. If you've ever done mission work or anything, they sing, I was sinking deep in sin. And they'll sing that for 20 years. The same bums and the same pew. God bless them. They love God. They've been saved. But that's all they knew. That's all they know. There's no knowledge beyond that. Many of them continue in bondage. Some of them grow. But basically, that's what they know. I was sinking deep in sin, and God lifted me. And that's tremendous. And God wants that. And then comes the charismatic move, and God gives us all these gifts and understanding and knowledge. You know why? Because He has something for us to do. That's why we're not sitting as bums at a mission singing, Love Lifted Me Until We Die. And all we ever heard was Just As I Am Without One Plea and Love Lifted Me. We need to hear those. People need to get saved. But then they need to grow up because God has roles and tasks that cannot be performed until the body of Christ comes to maturity. So you have to find out what your ministry is. Because look here as we go on. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, made solid, made in unity in the faith and the love of God, by that which what? Every joint supplieth. So you have a ministry, and the people are going to, the brokenhearted are going to be made whole by what? By you. That's where the deliverance is going to come from. It's going to come from you. And you see, we read on, by that which every joint supplies, not just the apostles and prophets and teachers, they minister for the saints to perfect them, but you minister to the saints, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh an increase of the body, this is the seed of Abraham, the seed, unto the building up of itself. The body builds itself up. So, what has God given to us? To one is given wisdom. Why? To do what? Because somebody will come to church and say, you know, I'm so messed up, I don't know what direction to go. And where's that wisdom going to come from? God will give somebody in the body a word of wisdom. And you will minister to your brother or sister and lift them. God will give you a word of knowledge. Somebody comes heavy-hearted. See, to lift a heavy heart. I'm just talking about Zion, not the world. The world is a different situation. It's just God's people that have the need. And the reason that those needs are not met is, one, because the ministry is seeking after money and its own aggrandizement, and two, because the people are not operating. And the people are not operating, well, for two reasons. One, ignorance, and the other thing is because they've got their own fish to fry. And this is the day in which God is going to make the least, the feeble, as David, and it has got to come from the members of the body of Christ. Which means two things for you. One, you've got to find out what your ministry is. And it may not be to preach to those that never heard the name of Jesus. It may be to preach to those who have heard the name of Jesus. You see, because what God is after is the building up. The body ministers to the building up of itself. And God has given miracles and healing and wisdom and this for the building up. That's what it says, that the body, because you're all members of one body. See what I mean? So we're moving in that direction with our Friday night service, emphasizing it, And you will be hearing from me from time to time and from other of the people in the church, maybe been saved a year longer than you have or something, whatever, some guidelines, because we don't want it to get off. We don't want people running around and prophesying. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go because you don't know what you're doing. You see what I'm trying to say? This is what we want, because without it, the people aren't going to grow. Now, a good example of the right thing to do was Missy's telling of her dreams in the UFW. See, now that's edifying. There's no doubt that people are going to be released and helped by that ministry. Do you see what I mean? So, if it's done, everybody's going to have something to do in this thing. Everybody's going to have something to give. But in order to get it, you have to wait on God and don't let our American culture rob you. You're no longer members of a congregation. You are joints in the body of Christ. Everyone, I don't care your age, how old you are in the Lord, you have something that you have to give. And until you are giving it, other people must minister to you till you can get your own problems licked, and then you'll be able to help somebody else. Because you've got something to give. And until you're able to give it, the body's going to suffer. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe some to the unsaved, some to the body, all the unsaved, all the body. I can't say. But you have to present your body a living sacrifice to find out what your job is to build up the seed of Abraham. Because the world cannot be saved, and we'll see this later in the chapter, the world cannot be saved until God's people are built up. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. The world is waiting for us. And the church has been ruined by Satan. Well, because the ministry and people are in sin, and they can't get the victory over their own problems. See, the seed itself is crippled. The body itself is split and divided. That's why the world is helpless. The world is not going to find any salvation. So the need of the hour is for us to move to the place where everybody is ministering to the needs of everybody else. Now, we'll need a lot of teaching. We'll need a lot of help one for another, and a lot of hanging together, because you can't do it by yourself. As Audrey prayed, we have to stay in the ship. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stay in this church, but you can't do it out alone. You can't do it. You'll go off, and we get into the charismatic cutesies. No, we're not going to do charismatic cutesies where we keep our own way and dibble and dabble as it's convenient. To minister, the only place ministry comes from is the cross. Ministry does not come from any other place. And before you are able to minister and give to other people, you have to lay your life down, and it will come out of sacrifice. Not that you whip yourself or anything, but it's going to cost you. Until it costs you, you'll have nothing to give. Right? Until it costs you, you'll have nothing to give. Say, how come? I'm not sure I can put it into words. I'm not sure I can put it into words. But you see, the salvation that came to you came from a man's death. See? It came from Jesus' death. And he could have lectured to you till the cows come home. He could have done all kinds of things, but that would never save you. He had to save you by his death. See? There's some law that works in the kingdom. And Paul said the same thing. We who live, that is, we've got the victory. We who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in you. So we're not talking about hyped up charismatic meetings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about each one facing the fact that God wants us to turn our lives over to Him so that Jesus can have His way. And as Jesus have His way, it'll be just like Sunday night. I'm going to brag on my wife a little bit. Just like Sunday night. That's exactly right. You notice how Paul, who was called to minister to the body, and whoever ministered to the body of Christ better than Paul? See? The very fact we're studying Ephesians is Paul's fruit. Who's he preaching to? Us. Who's he preached to down through history? The church. How's it been built up by the epistles of Paul? But what did they come out of? Confusion. Perplexity. Shipwreck. I don't think you would envy it, but there is no other way that you can minister the body. You can't come from a position of safety and strength and well-being and everything and reach over and give. It doesn't work that way. You have to lay yourself out before God. God takes you, breaks you, and deals you.
And then what comes forth is not you and your ministry and how nice you are, but in spite of you, something comes out to help other people. Out of your perplexity, out of your confusion. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about perhaps anything we've ever seen before, and we're going to have to go back to the Bible for our examples of ministry. And that's what God wants to do to you. It's not the preachers, but you. Because I wasn't born with a cleric collar, and I haven't been to seminary. Just an ordinary guy, just like you. You say, well, I don't say God will call you a full-time work. He may. He did me. But that was incidental. It wasn't because I decided to become a professional minister, because I'm not. I left my career. What I'm doing now is pastoring people. Be a gadfly. But it's just like you. You weren't born with a cleric collar on your neck. You're an ordinary person like myself. And God may call you to full-time ministry, but He doesn't have to be full-time. But you have to give yourself. You can't have your life in the world and minister to the body of Christ. You have to say, Lord, my motive in being is to be built up and to build others up that your will may be done among the nations of the earth. See, the nations are our goal out there. God, in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. But before they can, the seed has to be delivered. See? And it's delivered by itself. The increase of the body unto the building up of itself. And so, as Neil said, Christ comes through the Spirit, gives off parts of His personality into us, and we feed it to each other. And that's how Isaiah 61 is done. And God has given us the baptism that we might build up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you building up the body of Christ? Say, Brother Tom, I've got so many problems. I can't even build myself up. I can't even build up my wife or kids. I'm going down for the third time. Huh? Would you please come and hear my problems? I don't want to hear anybody else's. That's why we love counseling so much. Somebody at least will sit down and pay attention and listen to my problems. We've all got problems, don't we? Well, God wants us, the church, to be so strong that we, sure, we're ministered to. Certainly, we always need help along the line. But we're growing up to the place where our primary concern is the ministry that God has given us for other people. Like the Padres are getting ready now to go. They can't be occupied 100% of the time with their own personal problems. They're going, giving of themselves to a need. And that's what God wants you to do and me to do, to give of ourselves 100%. I think if the members of this church, just the people that attend this church, there may not be all that many, but the member, if everybody was ministering 100%, I wonder where we'd be today. Are you giving it your best shot? You're the only one who can answer that. I just wonder sometimes. All right, so we're back to Isaiah 61. That's where this happens to. The proclaim liberty to the captives. God wants you to be free, and He wants every member of the body to be free. He wants you to be free from self-will. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to be free from doubt and fear and anxiety and sickness and every other thing. God wants you free. And that's why we have the anointing, so that you will be free and be an overcomer. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is God's people He's talking about. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When is the acceptable year of the Lord? When? It's now. And one of the mistakes that we make, and I'm sure that I cause many people to make it too and have made it myself, is because the vision, whatever it may be, that God has given me is not principally or it's not confined to this age. God somehow, for His own reason, has given me a kind of, when I look at things, I look at them starting now and going on. That's just in my mind. That's just the way it is. As a result, I often get very futuristic. But the thing, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, there's no magic moment at which you will be transformed. Hear me. There will be no time. Becky, let me tell you, you're young. There'll never be a time when it's easy to take up your cross. It seems that way when you're young. It seems, oh, well, I'll have a good time, but as soon as I get 18, you know, and I'm old and over the hill, I'll... did you ever remember the age when you thought 18 was over the hill? then I'll settle down and get serious. But when you get to be 18, it doesn't work that way. See, then you think, well, let me just sow my wild oats. You know, I don't want to be a party pooper while I'm in college. But after I get out and settle down, then I'm going to serve the Lord. But you know, when you get out and settle down, it doesn't work that way. There's other things, the kids come along, and there's this problem and that problem. It just doesn't work that way. And then you get to where you've got a mortgage and you've got bills and everything and health insurance and you're so busy you're trying to hold down two jobs. And look, when I'm older, I'll do it. When I'm retired, if you're going to talk about when you're retired. And then you hit middle age and old middle age and early old age. That's about as far as I can go. I don't know what it's like after that. But I'm telling you, that it's never easy. You've got to take some time in your life and just say, now. And Jordan, everything will go against you. People will discard you. Circumstances. Just when you do it, something will go bananas in your life. And to give you the reason, not today, tomorrow. And tomorrow will never come. I'm here. I warrant you, tomorrow will never come. You say, you've got to say at some point in your life, from now on, I'm going to do what the Bible's talking about. There'll never come a golden moment. It will not come. At which the Lord will come and make you a flaming, burning evangelist. It will not come. What you do is you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you with everything that's within me. And nothing will happen. Bells won't ring. It'd be just like nothing happened. But you know what happened? God said to the angels around him, listen to that one. Scribe, write it down before he changes his mind. And from that moment on, everything in your life is geared to make you what God wants you to be. And some dramatic things may happen at once, or they may not happen. But believe me, that's one prayer God hears. And from then on, your life is cut in steel. I mean every step, every word is evaluated because God needs you and you have said to God, and God will take you at your word, I want to serve you, Lord. I want you to work in my life. I want to build up the seed. I want to evangelize. I want to do the thing. And God will take you at your word. And everything that happens to you after that, is with that in mind. And when your ministry does come, guess what it'll be? One tiny step. It will not be a quantum jump. It will be one ordinary, practical outgrowth of what God was doing. And one day you wake up, you turn around and say, wow, I didn't realize it. But here I am. And it was just as natural as eating cereal in the morning. It doesn't go that you're going along and say, I'm waiting, and meanwhile I'm watching the football game, and one day God will wrench the heavens. Today is the day you have to make your decision. And the moment that you make that, God will take you at your word. And I can remember years ago that I made a vow like that to God, many years ago. I said, people were saying, well, the world is waiting to see what will happen if anybody does God's will. And they were quoting Moody, and this was in Bible school. I said, this is ridiculous. I said, all right, Lord, I'll do your will. You show it to me, and I'll do it. The next move is yours. And boy, within an hour, within a short time, there came forth a strong prophecy. I think it was the teacher of one of our Bible school teachers. And the word was like this. If you mean what you say, it will be a blessing to many people. I never forgot that. And I meant it. I meant it. And you should have seen all the foolish things I've done since then. But you see, God heard it. And he means business. He said, God, your mouth makes the difference. Your mouth makes the difference. And I said it out of my mouth. And the Bible says somewhere, if you're not going to do what you say, don't say it. Keep your mouth. Because God will hold you to your vows and don't have to say before the angel it was a mistake. When you say something, you mean it. And I said to God, I will do whatever you say. There is no restriction. You name it, I'll do it by your grace. I meant it. I still mean it. I still mean it, eh? I don't change my mind. Hallelujah. That's no big deal. Anybody can do that, and anybody ought to, because the opposite is to say, well, God, you're my Father, and you're my Creator, but there's some areas in which I will not serve you. That's the opposite. But in order to establish it before yourself and heaven and earth and the devil, you've got to say it out from your mouth. Lord, I will do whatever you want. Now please do something with my life, because here I am, and I'm available, and I mean it. And I'm not changing. You're not telling God I'm going to do heroics and say the word. You're not telling God that you're going to do anything. What you're doing is saying, God, I'm ready to do your will. That's all. The rest is God's business. That's up to Him after that. Praise the Lord. Have you ever done that? I'm not going to let you out of church tonight until you do that. You've got to tell God out from your mouth so that God can hear it once, and then write it in your book, and then you'll know it, and God will know it. Say, on this date, such and such a time, 8:15 or whatever it was, 1:18:83, I said, and I meant, and I still mean, that I'll do whatever God said. Peggy, would you be afraid to do that? Say, what do you do? What'll come on me if I say such a thing? You have to take your chances. That's where trust comes in. That's where trust in God's character comes in. That He loves you. And that He is more interested in your welfare than you are. See, that's where trust comes in. That God is after your good. And if you say, and God will hear you, and He'll do it too. Well, no fooling around. He... to proclaim, today is the acceptable time. And you say, well, tomorrow. Do you know tomorrow may never come? I've said that before, but you know, people do die. How many knew that? If not, open the paper and read the obituary. They do die, and not all of them are over the hill either. Some of them are young. It happens. Kids, you have no guarantee that God's going to give you another chance. This is the only time you've got. Tomorrow you may not be with us. I may not be with you tomorrow. We don't know. So you've got to do it now. You've got to do it now. You've got to say, right now, Lord, I leave the world. I am going to serve God. Don't wait, because we're in really remarkable days. The day of vengeance of our God. Now, Jesus did not read that. See, He stopped at that comma after the word Lord. So the day of vengeance of our God is for the end time when God begins to execute judgment upon Satan. We are entering into that time. The Feast of Trumpets is why there's so much militant noises coming forth in the pulpit. To comfort all that mourn. Are you mourning tonight? Jesus wants to comfort you. And He'll comfort you where? From the members of the body. That's His hand. You're His hand. The body builds itself up. Are you able to comfort somebody else? You can. God may give you a ministry of comfort. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. See, it's not talking about the world at all. It's talking about those who are downcast in Zion. Now, you're all in Zion. Are you downcast tonight? Are you in problems? Then there should be ministry in the body to build you up. And God wants to bring us to that place where we can build one another up in the Spirit. God wants to give you beauty in place of your ashes. So you won't all the time be berating yourself and saying, I'm no good. I'm a mess. God will give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy in place of mourning. Are you sad of heart? God will lift you up. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Will be strong as the people are strong and are able to minister one to another. That they might be called, what? Yeah, not slips, not flowers, but trees of what? Righteousness. Now, do we see that today in the Church of Jesus Christ? Not hardly. Why not? Why isn't the church, when people look out at the Christian church, why don't they say, wow, that's a bastion of righteousness, those godly people. What's gone wrong? What's gone wrong? the ministry hasn't been operating. See, there's been no one with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. That's what we've got to pray for. Covet the gifts of the Spirit, that we'll really have them and really exercise them. And then the body will be built up by that which every joint supplies, and all of God's people will be as David. That's the direction we're going. And this will have to happen before Jesus comes. And I'm going to go over into the New American Standard because it shows you the relationship between what's happening. So they will be called oaks, literally oaks of righteousness, strong. Oaks take a long time to grow. Hardwood, strong, very resilient. You know, you make a bow of oak because they don't break. Ships are made of oak. Oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. Established. This is the sign of the church, not a lot of foofra. The foofra, the purpose of all the noise and commotion is what? To produce righteousness. If it doesn't produce righteousness, it's not in God's track. It must produce righteousness, Twilight. The gifts must produce righteousness. They must end. The person must end up being an oak of righteousness if we're in the Spirit. Now, then it gives a relationship. This is what it starts in the fourth verse in the New American Standard. It starts with the word then. Then, after this is true, after the Spirit of God working through the body, working through Christ through the head, built up by the head, then when they have praising and are rejoicing and are strong, then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. Where are the ruins? In heaven? Where are they? We're here on earth. We have been saved. We have been brought into the body of Christ for what purpose? For a purpose. What is it? Praise the Lord, for what purpose? To rebuild. To rebuild. Then they will rebuild. Now, I was looking at that decision today in the paper. How many saw that, where the Supreme Court ruled that there could be no religious assembling? You see that, Hank?
Yeah.
That young people in a high school, for example, could not voluntarily meet on the campus and have a religious meeting. The Supreme Court ruled again. Can you imagine that? Incredible. And a number of senators, the number is 26, sticks in my mind, I think it was, issued a brief on it to the court and said, please do not vote this way because you're giving the appearance that you're hostile to religion. And what is wrong with young people assembling on a campus and having religious devotions? Do you know what the court's answer was? Because children are impressionable. In other words, you can teach them every ungodly philosophy and humanistic thing to impressionable people, but you cannot teach the Bible. You know what that's going to produce? Desolation. Ruin. If God does not grant a change in our government, in our courts, the result will be desolation and ruin. Desolation and ruin always follow when you have ungodly rule. And all, you know, it scares me when I see a man like Keith Green, who was of an age where he could reach people of an age, the only one in the nation that I know of at that age and that drawing power, preaching a true message, and God would take him. You know what that tells me? Judgment. Judgment. See, when God takes away your prophets, when he takes away those who were preaching right, and Keith Green was affecting people that probably no one else can affect, that age that loves that style of music, and they would come and he would tell them the truth, whereas the others that appear in those magazines that they have, the Christian music and the Christian rock and all this stuff, you would not tell from that magazine whether you're looking at the world or looking at Christ. There's no difference. They have bookings and it's all commercial. It's just money is what it is. It's big money in Christian music. And he stood alone. He stood alone in that mess and preached repentance. And God took him. That's a judgment on our nation. And what does God let the Supreme Court do? Rule against religion. That tells me that God is getting ready to punish America. Right? He's not letting a good influence like that be pervasive. He just takes him, takes that voice. If he takes David Wilkerson, as David Wilkerson implied in that tape, man, who's going to be left that's got enough of a following or opportunity to open door to warn this nation where it's going? How many voices are warning this nation where it's going? In the meanwhile, God just lets the court do crazy stuff, like kids can't have a Bible class on the school campus. Brother, sister, we are heading for ruin, desolation. And the world, see, that's why Antichrist, when he goes sits in the temple of God, it says, it is the abomination that makes desolation or brings about ruin. And the abomination that brings about ruin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. So what we can look for in our nation in the near future is a tremendous desolation. Economic, weather, we can look for it to pick up until this country is rocking and reeling under devastation from God because of what we're doing. That's what we can look for. And you say, well, what's going to happen to you personally? We'll probably be scattered. I wouldn't doubt that at all. And you will have to, in your own life, either stand or just go with the tide. You're either going to have to stand with the Word of God and what you know to be right, or you're just going to forget it and take the course of least resistance. Oaks of righteousness. And if you stand as an oak of righteousness, others will gather around you and you will influence them. If you do not, they will influence you, and 5 years from now, you may not even remember anything you ever heard. It will depend on what you do in the immediate future, because there's going to be desolation. We're going to have to run with the horsemen. Desolation. And when God gets the seed of Abraham in the place that he wants it, Jesus will return, and these people will go through the earth and they will rebuild everything that has been destroyed by sin. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. This is one of the tasks of the seed of Abraham, is to rebuild the earth. Praise the Lord. Are you glad that God has given you something to do? Or if you had your druthers, would you really rather go up and play a harp by a river in the spiritual realm? Or would you rather come back to earth in a glorified body and rebuild civilization? Which would you do? Well, I don't want to tell you what you should do. Maybe you'd rather play a harp. Huh? Oh, boy, I've already got one pastor that has completely unfrocked me. He has unfrocked me and excommunicated me from the Christian church, because he says, you're making a motel out of heaven. I'm not making a motel out of heaven. I'm just preaching the Bible. The Bible says, then they. Who's they? The Zion, the people that God's going to build up after he gets them over their problem. They're going to rebuild everything that sin has destroyed. And that's going to take time. It's going to take thought. They will raise up. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Antichrist is called in Daniel and in Matthew the abomination that makes desolate. And it has to be rebuilt. God means this earth to be right and nice and productive. And it's going to be, and sin is going to destroy it. And it's going to start, some of it's going to start in America in the future. I do believe that. But we're going to be rebuilding it. You're going to have the opportunity to rebuild the desolations. And notice this, strangers will stand and pasture your flocks. Now, who are the strangers that are going to do that? Are they saved or not saved? Are these strangers saved or not saved? By saved, I mean to be not saved is to be destroyed on the day of the Lord. Are they saved or not saved?
Saved.
All right, they're saved from wrath. Are they part of the seed? No, they're, because you see, they're strangers. Will stand and pasture your flocks. Who are your? Who's your talking about? Am I too deep? Who is your talking about? The seed of Abraham. That's you. Who are the strangers? Yeah, the peoples of the earth that God is lifting our problems so that someday we'll be able to do something for these people. You're being saved. They used to say, saved to serve. Well, yes, we have been saved to be built up into Christ because we have something to do for eternity. This is in the next age. This isn't even in this age. And, all right, it says foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. Well, what would you be doing while foreigners are going around and taking care of your property? What are you going to be doing? What is this thing? You'll be in the house sitting around, right? While everybody's waiting on you hand and foot. That's what you're going to be doing. Sitting in your mansion and eating See's candy. What does it say? But you will be called what? The priest of the Lord. God is making you a priest. So you're not just being saved. You're being made a priest. You will be named the priest of the Lord. You will be spoken of as what? A minister. You are being made a minister. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister. First to the body and then to people. Once we get our own hang up straightened around. All right. You will eat the wealth of nations. And in their riches you will boast. You're going to inherit the earth. You're going to inherit all things. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, and we have to be humiliated, I tell you, if we protect ourselves and save our lives today, in the age to come, we will suffer loss. If we are willing to be put down and to become the offscouring of all things and take the dirty end of the stick today, in that day we will shout for joy. And that's what Jesus said meant when he said, blessed are you who mourn now, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are you who weep, because you will rejoice. If you save your life and have a good time in the world now, hear me, you will be the loser in the age to come. If you put it all out for God today and take whatever God may send you to some poverty-stricken nation, or he may not. He may send you to a harder place. He may send you among the rich. That's right. You'll be far easier time with the poverty-stricken. They'll love you. The rich will give you the business. But somebody's got to preach to them, too. Let's hope it's not you. But if you have to, you have to. You just have to put up with it. Huh? You're better off with the poor. That's right. God loves them and he's made a whole bunch of them. But if you have to suffer humiliation, you can start singing and dancing now, because when Jesus comes, the tables will turn. So you either have your riches now like Lazarus, or in the age to come. See, God reverses it. In your life you had good things, now it is the beggar's turn. That's the principle of the kingdom. You can't have both things. You can't have it in this world and that which is to come. You've got to lay down your life now and pick it up in the age to come, or save your life now and heap it all around you. And in the age to come, you'll suffer. You'll be a single instead of being fruitful. Therefore, they will possess a double portion. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Think of that. Think of that. Every day better than the preceding one. Never any trouble. Everlasting joy. Could you stand it if you had nothing but joy for the rest of your life? Huh? You think of this life as so... I mean, there's hardly a day goes by you don't get a shaft from somewhere. Isn't that right? We're facing an eternity in which every day will be better than the one that went before. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. The seed. These people that were mourning and now are rejoicing got delivered from their mourning. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. That is, taking things from people, like going to a widow and taking all her income and saying it's for the gospel and deceiving old people and all this stuff that's done. Putting people down in order that the ministry may have enough money. That's robbery for burnt offering, and God hates that thing. And I will faithfully give them their recompense. This is the seed. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And he makes that today. Then their offspring will be known among the nations. We ourselves will be always with God. But it is those who proceed from us, and I think both naturally and spiritually, who will inherit the nations. It is your seed. You see this all through the Bible. It is what comes from us. There's a principle that works here in the kingdom. We ourselves will be as our first fruits unto God and held preciously by Him. But those who come from us will inherit the earth. You may not delight in that, but a parent delights in that. He would rather have his children prosper than himself. Do you know what I mean? It's our seed. If we're faithful, it's our seed who shall benefit. And their descendants in the midst of the peoples, all who see them will recognize them. They are the offspring. You go by, and your seed will go by. Look at those people. God has blessed them. That's the seed of Abraham. And Abraham's with God, but you see, his seed is the one that's blessed. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. That's today. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And I think this, the latter part of that, starting with wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, is what we will say when we receive the glorified body. I think this is what we will say when we will receive the glorified body, that God has covered me with the power of righteousness. And as a for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the thing sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise. Where? Where will the righteousness and praise come from? No? Where will it come from?
From us.
From a mature church. To spring up where?
Before the nations.
And that's what Jesus said, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made one, that the world may believe. Praise the Lord. All right, that's where we're going. And that's why you've got to get the victory and put more of a burden on you than you have already. So stay in the boat and ask God for help. And maybe God will raise up somebody. They'll come to you. Honestly, they'll prophesy. They may just wake up in the middle of the night and pray for you. But if you'll stay with the boat, you'll stay where God's people, because the ministry has to come from the members of the body. You will receive a ministry to others. I guarantee it. I'll write it down if it will help. You can take it home for a receipt. You will receive a ministry. And other people will minister to you until you are as David. Praise the Lord. Somebody was saying, I think it was Missy, but my wife told me, I got a second hand, that they heard a tape. She and Rick heard a tape, wherever they were, up there in California, north part, that I was preaching that we had to be perfect. And they said, well, how are we going to do that? Now you're going to do it. People are going to give it to you. With spiritual strength, rebuke, guidance, and all other good stuff. Because God wants you perfect. You're the seed. You're the heirs of all things. Just think of that. And here you can't even pray through. You can't even get the victory over the cat. Praise the Lord. We've got to give you the victory over the cat. All right. Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you because the Word, Lord, lifts us from where we are and shows us what is possible in God. And Lord, we know it's true, and we know that as surely as the earth will bring forth in a couple of months, as surely as spring will come, Lord, we know that the things that you said are going to spring up in the earth. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, that the leaf, that the tree is budding now, Lord, as we hear the Word of God and as you put in our hearts the desire, Lord, to be perfect in you, to be ministered unto, to minister, and to grow to where we can be a help to mankind. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I want you to tell the Lord that no matter what He asks you to do, you'll do it. You tell Him that. Hallelujah. Lord, whatever, there's not a disobedient person in this house, Lord. Not one. And Lord, we have seen the folly and madness of the world system and of wealth, of earthly riches, of houses, of lands, of money, Lord. We have seen the folly of it. that it buys pain and not peace. And we will not be deluded by Satan. And so, Lord, in the midst of blindness, Lord, because we have to do it by faith, we say, we choose your way, and we will obey you, Lord, no matter what you say. Your way is best, it is right, and we say it with our mouths, we mean it, we will not change, Lord. Whatever you say to us to do, by your grace, we will do it. So the next move is yours, Lord. Hallelujah. The next move is yours, because we will do whatever you say, and we mean business. We are not speaking foolishness. We mean what we say. We will do it. You show us, we'll do it. You name it, we'll do it, Lord, because we have respect unto the recompense of the reward. Praise your name. And we fear God, and it's, anyway, it's the right thing to do. So we do it, Lord. And we trust you that what you will do with our lives, that we break on your head. Lord, if you want to waste them, you waste them. You do as you will. Take us, leave us, do as you will. But we're going to do your will. We made up our minds. And the world, we said goodbye, Lord, till that day when we come and rebuild it. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there may be someone here tonight. There may be several. And you're wobbling around. And you're not to leave this church until you quit wobbling. So, don't leave tonight until we have a chance to pray, or some come, or if you want to pray by yourself, not be bothered. But God does not want you all bowed down. And don't you leave here until you're speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. And if you've got a problem, we're going to leave the problem at the altar. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So before we pray for the greens, I'd like those that... You're the one that needs help tonight. Next week you can help us, but you're the one that needs help tonight. Will you come to the altar now while we're in a spirit of prayer, and then we'll minister to the greens, and then we'll come back, and some of us will stay here until you go home with your mind clear and your heart clear. And if you haven't made your consecration and you want to make it, come up tonight. Praise the Lord. It's just us, so don't be embarrassed if you're wobbling, because we're going to minister one to another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God doesn't want you weak. He wants you strong. And if you're moaning and a-groaning, then you come up tonight so we can pray. God will give you the spirit of joy. And have a little joy in your life instead of being dragged out all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or if you haven't made your consecration, you make it. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And God will look at your heart and say, uh-oh, they love Satan's ways more than they love my ways. You don't want that. You don't want that. Praise the Lord. I'd like someone who would. One of the ladies. Would you come and work with our sister, please? Is there another one? Hallelujah. These are the days. These are the days. Oh, listen, if you're troubled in spirit... Would you come up? It says, he give them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now I want you to praise God and talk in tongues and stay here until you do. Hallelujah. God will lift that load. You don't have to be all drug out like that. Praise the Lord. He wants you to be a tree of righteousness, and you can be too, by his grace. Is there anyone else? Anyone else needs to be a tree of righteousness? You need help tonight. Next week you can help others. We build ourselves up by that which every joint supplies. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Come on, you guys, if you're not on top of it, this is the time. You're living one day at a time from now on. And you need to get it together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God does not want you agitated, sick, bowed down, mourning. He wants you on top, because you're going to be needed to help other people. You can't help them when you yourself can't get your own victory in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God, sure you're going to have affliction, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God is going to give you the victory. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. Then you're going to help other people with the help that God helped you with. Praise the Lord. That's how we help other people, is the help that God helped us. Praise the Lord. Not out of our personal strength. Out of our weakness, God works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? In a minute we'll be praying for the greens. But these people, I want to stay at the altar, if you will, until we have a chance to check it out, make sure that you've got what you came for. Well, I want to minister to the greens because I'm going to have to get up early. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, while these people continue here at the altar, getting their own needs, I'm going to ask the Green family that's going to be leaving to stand kind of toward the back third of the church there so these others can go on and pray. And then I want others to stand around. We'll stand and pray and ask God's blessing on them. So if the Green family would please come on into the aisle there and the back third of the church there, and some of the saints that would you gather around? And if you still want to come to the altar, then come up here, get your own needs met. If you've got the victory, then you can impart a blessing to the Green family as they go to give themselves in service in Virginia and to grow in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But those that need help, you get yourself up here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't help other people. You've got it all together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you want to just sit at your pew and pray, that's all right too. Praise the Lord. But those at the altar, be sure and don't leave now till we get back to minister to your needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everyone, however much you will, we want, they have peace. We want to be built up and strengthened. So we pray to know they're going to the sea. We pray that we'll receive all the desires of their heart. Verse 31.